Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. Do you like free t-shirts? Do you like gambling? You can join us on the show this season and pick Pac-12 football games with us. All you gotta do to get in on the action is to hit us up on Twitter, at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, or at TSB Pod.
Watch that one. A little Martin, whole lot of Malcolm. That's why COINTELPRO wanna whack him. But he be making people rich going platinum. One of those uppity black men with an unorthodox Jew to back him. But I reach out and touch, I don't tap in. So please don't think it can't happen.
How much of a mess has Rudy Giuliani become? Like, and it seems like it didn't take that much time, you know?
I think he's been kind of out there
The whole time,
but you know, he wasn't. I don't know. He didn't find the cause, like the wrong cause, to be on the side of.
Hitched to a particular tractor at that point.
Yeah. It was just, you know, go America. You know, post 9/11, go Yankees.
Yeah.
Bad drugs and porn. I mean, that's about it.
There you go.
He wrote that for a lot of years.
Speaking of which, so Robinson Cano's career is like over, right? I know he has like that one more year after the full year suspension is over, but we got two like full season PED suspensions now for him, right? Or no, the other one was 80 games, right?
Oh, was yeah.
Now this one is a full season. Like, you know, I know he's under contract, so I guess technically like the Mets have to pay him that money.
But don't think you had to pay someone for failing the drug test.
But so he failed the drug test, so they're not paying him this year, which is, but he's still got that 1 year when he comes back from the suspension, which by the way, $24 million he's losing this year because of that. That's a lot of money.
And I'm a little shocked because, like you said, it's the end of his career. He could have just rode these 2 years. He didn't need a, you know, pop some heads.
He could have just been terrible, right?
Exactly. You're going to get paid either way. This is the only way to not get paid, pretty much.
Yeah. Craziness.
But the question was, was he a Hall of Famer before this?
He was on his way, for sure. 100%.
I mean, he wasn't going to...
No, like his time with the Yankees? Like, absolutely.
He already failed the PEDS test. He had no chance.
No, that's what I'm saying. Then he failed the PEDS test. Then he failed another PEDS test.
Oh, okay.
And now he's... Like, he was on track, too, with what I was saying. Just because he was looked at as – he literally – like, people would say he's, like, the most – he's, like, the natural swing. He's, like, just one of those naturally gifted guys who's just really, really good at the sport.
See, I think you could fail – I think you could fail a PEDS test nowadays, one. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you could say it was anything then.
I'm not buying that.
But
– until we see someone go into the Hall of Fame –
Because didn't Bonds like didn't actually fail a test?
He did not.
No, he was just named in the report. The cream in the clear, and you know, a Game of Shadows came out about him. Basically,
was Pettit the only one that actually failed a test?
Pettit and Giambi.
Yeah, well, no Hall of Famers here. So
yeah.
Palmeiro, you know, Clemens. I don't remember if they
Pudge Rodriguez did too, right?
Well, that was all in that report. So the Big Poppy will be the litmus test on that report.
For sure.
Whatever that thing was called. I forget what it is, but.
Well, it would be A-Rod first, right? A-Rod retired before Poppy, didn't he?
Well, but A-Rod, like, legit failed tests too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Poppy never failed one, like, straight up. He was just named in that report as failing.
Who's the player who is tied up in this or tested positive who you were most disappointed about, like hearing about? Because you loved them and you wanted them to be like a Hall of Famer. Was there anybody?
I would say Manny Ramirez.
Literally, the person I was going to say was
Manny. Because he was so good.
Yep. He was so good. He's one of the few athletes I've ever watched who made it look effortless.
He was a right-handed hitter.
Like he wasn't trying. And he was really, he just raked all day. I loved him, man. Like, I really did. And I don't like Boston really at all, but I loved Manny Ramirez. So that bummed me out.
See, I guess I'm, you know, part of that, you know, we're the same generation, but of, you know, steroid baseball is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I have
I'm an Ace fan, bro.
Yeah, I have no
problem. That's our bread and butter.
There's only one player that tested positive that I really don't like because of it, because it was Brady Anderson.
Okay.
Because he hit 50 bombs in a year, and that was the biggest fluked, roided out year ever, and he's down in history for dropping 50 bombs in a year.
Yep. There's no asterisk there. He has 50 bombs in the record books.
I don't know if he did.
No, he didn't do anything after that.
Does he got 50 bombs? Does he have 100 home runs in his career?
Like the rest of his
career? Yeah.
No. No, because he fell off right away.
Well, like, shocker, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he was terrible every year after that. Yep.
Like a little punching Judy outfielder all of a sudden.
Yeah, right? Weird.
He's Willie Mays Hayes in Major League 2. There you
go.
Was.
There you go.
Brady Anderson did hit 210.
Did he get 200?
How long did he play?
15 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
So he averaged 10 bombs a year other than that 50 spot?
Take it.
Give or take. Take it. 10 to 15. Yeah.
15 years in a pro sports career, dude. That's very legit. All right, should we transition to, like, the one thing that everybody's talking about? Like,
Mariners?
The only important sports topic this week, Justin Herbert's hair.
Oh. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
I don't get what he was thinking.
What was the goal? That's what I want to know.
It had to be, like, a slump buster kind of thing, you know?
Well, he's
let a strength coach cut his hair.
Yeah. You just don't do that, bro.
Some veteran player in there talked him into it and said, hey, this is fucking us up. We would be getting some wins. You got to cut your lettuce here. And, you know, the strength guy just popped right in. Hey, I'll do it. Sure.
So I'm not mad at the idea of him getting a haircut because he needed a haircut. He did. But
his hair was flowing and perfect. That's how you're supposed to be as a quarterback in
okay. LA. Let me take that back. The hair was fine, but he needed to shave because he cannot grow facial hair like the way like we three can. Like, I'm looking at both of you. I shaved today, but look at like King's
got
very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Do you have like a shampoo for that or like?
Yeah, I use a balm and an oil.
Love it.
I do.
I love it. By the way, I use oil on my face too. Like, we're getting older. We get dry skin and shit. Take care of yourself, man.
Yeah.
I'm going for
the Spencer Hall look.
Treat yourself. But Herbert cannot grow facial hair like that. So he should just not try. Like, just don't do it. Just shave your face every day. Like, whatever. Just that's the kind of person you are. But the hair, I'll admit, was good. But that cut, though, like you mentioned it on Twitter, King. It's like he was fading in the front.
It's so bad. I don't get it.
Like, what's the goal, man?
I don't know.
It looks so weird. It makes his head look weird.
Because in the last 2 weeks, even the NFL, like, official, like, Twitter account was running, like, slow-mo videos of Herbert warming up
with
his Euro headband, his hair just flowing. Ooh. As he's throwing pregame passes. That was his thing.
My guy.
Cut it off.
My guy, you're in LA too, man. It's perfect.
That's so on brand. I don't get it.
I honestly think his facial hair worked a little bit. That kind of wispy, like.
That's, he had, you know, kind of the
beach.
The beach Vendetta look going on.
Yeah. Well,
ooh, that's why,
you know, he just came out, you know, he came off his surfboard, you know. Just,
yeah.
Hey, brah. Y'all want to go play some football? No, it's
cool. Yeah, exactly.
He what was the McConaughey movie called? Beach Bum? Was that it?
Beach Bum,
yeah.
Good movie.
You probably own that movie, right, Ski?
I don't. Okay. I don't buy movies anymore.
Okay. How do you watch them? Just digital?
Well, if they're not streaming, I'll fucking pirate it from somewhere.
Will you drop like 20 or 30 bucks for a movie? Oh, you're pirating. Okay, never mind.
I'll pirate it. Yeah.
Never mind. Never mind. All right. End of discussion. Okay, so enough about the hair, I guess. I posted a couple of pictures on Twitter of my like terrible hairstyles over the years. I had the afro that was very questionable. And then I did the Herbert thing too, where I had it long in the afro, and then I'd have the headband that just like held it back and up. Not great. I mean, looking back on it, back then it was great. Looking back on it now, you guys ever do anything crazy?
I got cornrows in like 2009.
I think your wife gave you the cornrows, right?
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to.
Justin Timberlake rose. He gave us all a pass, right?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to go Timberlake, late 90s. I tried to bleach my hair.
Bleach hair?
But my hair does not – I needed, like, multiple, treatments of it. Yeah. My hair did not turn blonde.
Yeah.
It turned a weird – I don't even know. It was a new color.
Yeah.
It was almost orange. Almost orangey. Yeah.
It's like, no, we're not doing this today, bro. Nope. All right, let's get to Ducks, I guess. So it was kind of a weird game, a very typical game in terms of when they play Washington State, especially at Washington State, even though there's no fans, obviously. But, like, uneven, started out playing just, like, terrible, like turning the ball over. Defense kept them in it, so you got to give them credit there. But the offense was just a fucking mess.
The offense wasn't necessarily bad.
They were just turning the ball over.
I mean, that first drive was was it like 14 plays or something like that? Like a plotting, probably Cristobal creamed his pants on it. Just, amazing. Oh yeah, 5 yards a play. We're just going to grind off like 7 minutes here.
Yeah. But then they just couldn't get out of their own way in the first half.
Exactly.
And then, you got to give Shutt credit too, because, I know to a person, like everybody online was saying, man, like he doesn't have it today. Like go to the backup. Like this is crazy. He cannot hang on to the football and keep it. Like literally just hand the ball off, dude. He tries to hand it off and fumbles it. So to a person, everybody's like, all right, let's go to the backup. Grad transfer from Boston College. Lots of experience. He can at least not turn the ball over, probably. To Cristobal's credit, to Shuck's credit, like I get the thought process where you let him finish out the first half, give him a chance to respond in the second half, and then if he doesn't, if he keeps playing like that, then you bench him. And Shuck responded. Like that throw to Delgado on the sideline where he like threw it off his back foot over the defender, like that's money. Like it's a really good throw. And then he ends up with the numbers that he ends up with, makes some really big throws. The throw before the end of the first half to Red that set up the touchdown run. That was, again, one of those underthrows that you were talking about last week, King. But again, it's a big play. It was there. It happened. It led to a score. That's
all. Should have been a touchdown.
Should have been a touchdown, yes. But again, he responded in the second half, ended up putting up huge numbers, led them to a win. So you can't really be mad at the guy. We're talking about a kid starting his, in his first season as a starting quarterback. And so for him to like end up playing the way he did and for them to get the win, more importantly, it was good.
I mean, was this kind of the time for Mario to pull him also? If he would have, I mean, second game. He does this now. It's kind of like you kind of got to ride with him now in this season.
Yeah.
I mean, they got, what, four or five games left possibly? And
it'd probably take a pretty big collapse.
Yeah, now it's to the point where you might as well just work him for next season. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah.
Okay.
My thing with Shuck is, do you look at Shuck and be like, yeah, this is our guy for the next 3 years, this is our guy.
It's really hard with college, because they're like 19 years old. And so I don't know. The, you know, the kid who – the five-star kid or whatever, Ty Thompson or whatever, who's coming next year, you watch a lot of tape of him, and he looks really, really good. You know, he is an elite quarterback prospect. Shuck was too. You know, so
who was he? Was he a five-star?
Who the hell knows what they're going to look like? I don't think so.
Four-star. Yeah, I think he was state player of the year out of Arizona.
Well, so is Braxton Burmeister.
Yeah.
but yeah, so who the hell knows what they're going to look like when they actually get on a campus, you know? Like, Justin Herbert, I called his fucking games in high school, man. He did not look like an NFL quarterback. He just didn't. Like, he's 6'5", you know, whatever, he's big, whatever. He would overthrow people every single game. Like, he's playing against, you know, fucking, like, 5'3" kids, you know, who go to South Eugene, and I can say that because I went to South Eugene, and just they don't know how to play football. And he's going against those kids looking really, really good. And so then, like, you know, Scott Frost and Mark Helfrich go to his game and recruit him and get him in, and then – all of a sudden, he turns into the starting quarterback for the Ducks. And it's like, okay, well, how the fuck did that happen? He's a three-star kid. Like, okay, cool. I don't know shit. And so who the hell knows until they actually get on the field. And when they get on the field and they have their struggles and they respond the way he did, you like to see it. It's growth. It's growth, at least, you know. So he could end up being good. He's pretty good right now. It might be that our standards are really high, too. There could be some of that.
My thing with Shuck is I cannot imagine him playing with the Marcus Arroyo offense.
Ooh.
Right.
Where everything is hard.
I don't want to imagine that.
Throws. Because yeah. Moorhead schemes guys open. There's always a drag across the middle, which I'm not sure we want Shuck to ever throw because every time he throws – across the middle.
Yes.
Pretty sketchy.
Does he inability to read linebackers.
Does he physically not see people?
You know, he doesn't.
There's four people standing there. That's
no. Yeah. No more of that, buddy. Everything to the sideline, please. They run that tight end RPO a lot. Like that's gonna stop working here in the next couple of weeks.
Is it?
It's really
play UCLA and Oregon State. I mean,
okay, that's fair. That's fair. But I'm saying, like, they
didn't Cal. And then, I don't know if you watched Cal on Sunday, but
yeah. Yeah.
I'll say more. Red is absolutely loving this Moorhead offense.
Red is good.
He actually gets to shine now. You know, yeah. Like I said, Moorhead schemes him into, you know, perfect position on plays, which, because like you said, he's tiny. He needs to have the ball with a little bit of space to let him work.
He is really good.
It seemed like Arroyo always put him in with, you know, a tough spot, like, you know, that quick little wide receiver screen with guys, like, right in his face right away.
Yeah.
He needs to be, you know, like you said, kind of a quick drag across, you know, not too far, but, you know, five-yard drag.
He's a playmaker, dude. He's an absolute playmaker. And, you know, the play where he, you know, drags guys – inside the 5 yard line, like that kind of play. Like, so it wasn't all him. He actually got like Williams actually like carried him 5 yards. Like,
and guess who looked good last week?
Yeah.
Evan Williams.
He did.
He did.
He did. He did not look good week one at all, but now we're seeing why he was a 4-star recruit who went to USC. He is tall. He can make catches in traffic, even when they're thrown like 3 yards behind him. Yeah, playmaker. Like, they have good players at receiver. And who the hell knows when Pittman's going to come back? Nobody knows what his injury is, but he's not. He didn't play last week. He's not going to play this week. So,
do we have any reckless Pittman speculation to go off of?
Oh, he's definitely got the vid, right?
Is it that or is it contact tracing? Well, his dad seems. His dad is saying he's healthy.
Yeah, because they just had a couple of guys post. I know Cam McCormick was one. He just like did a post online about how he's like free from COVID lockdown or something like that.
Oh, really?
He didn't say those words, but like that's what he was insinuating. And so that's why he hasn't played the first 2 weeks, is because maybe that's because we haven't heard about what happened to him, what happened to Spencer Webb, like nothing. So like we're all completely clear. Literally, we know about one injury, and that's fucking abs, dude.
I know. There goes our OnlyFans account.
That's our. I know.
Our listening thighs account.
Did either of you guys see the video? I don't know if this is real. I could be making this up and just reading internet rumors. Mm-hmm. Did any of you guys see the video of Pittman leaving a bar at some point?
No.
No? Okay. Then
I am someone... so what's the protocol there? Like
isn't he underage still even, too? By the way,
I don't know.
Oh, there you go. So even if he doesn't test positive or whatever, just the fact that he went to one
allegedly,
does that get you quarantined?
I feel like no.
Okay.
That's why I feel like that story is BS.
Right.
Because I haven't seen anyone corroborate they ever saw it before it got deleted, quote unquote.
I mean, but you could see Mario having some rule saying, you know, don't, you know, you guys go to the bar, you might be sitting for a week or so.
Yeah.
You know, just as a team rule. No, you know, not like COVID practices or anything like that.
This has been interesting. Like with the COVID setup, all of the interviews and stuff have been done from the Hatfield Dowling complex via like, you know, Zoom or whatever. So like all the reporters will be in a Zoom call. They'll all have their turn. Todd Miles will unmute them and then they'll get to ask their question. And so I feel like when they're all in a big circle outside the HDC and, you know, you have your media availability, guys walk up, they stand in front of everybody with the cameras and stuff like that. I feel like we used to get more information than we're getting right now.
Absolutely.
Like the fact that we don't know anything about these injuries is crazy to me. Like I don't understand that at all because Cristobal talks injuries. Like he doesn't really hide it. At least I don't think so. He might be this year. That might be the thing. Yeah.
Because this is the first year I've heard him say, and I only hear snippets, you know, driving to and from work, but this is the first year I've heard him say, I don't discuss these things.
Interesting.
And he opens up his press conference and says, X, Y, Z, unavailable. I don't discuss these things. It has to be either somewhat COVID or he's just taking an opportunity to kind of throw it under the umbrella of COVID and just says, I'm just not talking about it.
Well, yeah, I think that's it because COVID, you have your, you know, your right to privacy. If you do test positive for that. And so if you have that, you might as well throw everything under that umbrella, because if you're all of a sudden saying, well, I can't talk about why Pittman's out, that means he has COVID. So it does make sense. There is a logic to it, but it is weird because it's not something we're used to with Cristobal. And so who knows? We'll see when Pittman comes back. It would be nice to have more than one healthy tight end on the roster as well. You know, who the hell knows? You know, we're looking at what's his name? DJ Johnson?
Yeah,
we're looking at DJ Johnson, you know, showing out the first two games with a touchdown each game. Who the hell knows how good Spencer Webb and Cam McCormick would have been if they were available?
Like, I will say,
what Moorhead would be running if he had like three really talented tight ends, like healthy.
I would not be surprised if Webb and or McCormick are better receiving threats than Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnson, I don't care. He is the best blocker at that position.
Yeah.
He is blowing people up.
Yeah.
He's working himself into being the tight end. Well, what is he, a sophomore? Junior?
Yeah. I think a redshirt.
Junior? Redshirt?
Junior? No, I can't remember. I think he's a junior now.
Well, he's playing himself into playing time next year, too, the way he's looked. Like I said, Webb or McCormick, probably Webb going forward is going to be the downfield threat.
See, I feel like Webb.
McCormick's really good, by the way. McCormick's really good. Like, we just haven't seen him because of injuries. Yeah.
Have we ever seen him?
Yeah.
I don't remember him. No. Ever.
Like I said, Webb's got the size that you want for a tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, was it converted wide receiver? Kind of. Stick him at tight end. And then you have Johnson run, you know, sneaky little underneath routes. And like you said, blocking is just –
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be in there. They might start doing more double tights kind of formations.
Don't tempt Mario with double tights. Please.
Yeah, he's going to look back on this year, Johnson is, and be like, man, that COVID year was my year. And then, you know, because, you know, next year everybody's going to be healthy. He's going to go back to just being the blocking tight end, and he's not going to catch touchdowns anymore. Probably. I don't know. He could. He's super fucking athletic and really strong and quick. So, I don't know. Maybe he will just – by the way, like, only college, obviously, do you get to see this – stuff happen, you know, like Kenyon Barner switching from corner to running back, right, and then becoming the, you know, running for a school record rushing yards in a game and 5 touchdowns against USC. And then you have a guy switching from defensive end to tight end and just turning into a guy, you know, what we're seeing right now, a touchdown in each game to start the season. So I love it. I love it. So should we talk about Travis Dye's gloves?
Huh. Oh, that guy.
That guy's an enigma, man.
He showed us, I think, why he doesn't wear gloves. Maybe
he did that to show you up.
Yeah,
like personally, he's like, all right, this motherfucker keeps saying I gotta wear gloves. All right, I'm gonna wear these gloves and then I'm gonna fumble it.
Wear gloves.
Fuck you, dude. Fuck you, dude.
Oh.
It's the one play he has ever worn gloves at Oregon, and he fumbled the ball.
I do love Dye in this offense,
yeah,
where he can just be like a random gash guy up the middle, but consistently Moorhead just runs wheels and dumps. And yes, he's just skinny and fast,
yeah,
and small and gets lost. And you just throw him up the seam or down the sideline, it's going to work.
Like they did. Yeah.
Like they did.
That's how he got those 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
By the way, wheel route one-on-one against a linebacker, that's a touchdown all day.
Yeah.
Like, all day. That's
no.
That was easy. You could see that play developing, like when Dye released out, and you got like you had the linebacker take that angle where he's like, oh, fuck, and then has to turn really quick and try to chase, and it's like, all right, you're done. Like,
that, you know, was one of those plays.
All Shuck has to do is not underthrow it by 10 yards.
Where I'm sitting on the couch, and Shuck goes back, and when you're watching it live, you just kind of see Dye flash the top of the screen.
Yep.
And I stood up.
He gone.
And did the one hand up before Shuck threw it. And I was like, and once he threw it, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I started spinning my arms. Like, that was over. I mean, that was so good.
You're the random GA on the sideline.
And, like, yes.
And I'm running down the line with him.
Yeah, you're in the
Lane Kiffin. Who just throws his arms up.
We didn't talk about that.
So good.
The Lane Kiffin clipboard throw. Did you guys see that?
It was awesome.
Like 40 yards in the air. Oh, that's one of the best things I've ever seen. It literally, like, you see it flash. Like, the camera's, like, zoomed back, and you see the clipboard, like, fly out of the corner. Oh, it's so good.
So good.
Oh, I for all the shit we've given Kiffin over the years, like, he does not care. Like, he's doing fine. You gotta love it. So, Flo is injured, like, torn meniscus, like, done for the season. Which, by the way, there's like 4 weeks left.
I know. Yeah, it's kind of deceiving a little bit.
Whatever the hell that means. Yeah, like a rolled ankle, and you could be done for the season, you know. But that sucks. So now it's, you know, at least you are in a position with Oregon where you have good alternatives. And, you know, he was the freshman kind of trying to find time in there. You're trying to find time for him. Obviously, he's a 5-star, so he was going to get it eventually. But you do have Matuatia, you do have, you know, you do have Sewell. Yeah. So, I mean, Oregon is still good at linebacker.
I mean,
it means they can't lose anybody.
Am I wrong a little bit, just kind of talking about that position group, that Funa looks kind of heavy and slow?
Yeah. Yeah. I was expecting way more from him.
Like, I know part of it is 5-week startup, and then the season starts, and you're not playing Portland State, Montana and
what, not yet.
Know. I get that. Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he just doesn't look.
Yeah.
Same. I expected a lot more.
He does look slow. Yeah, because he flashed really hard last year, and has not done anything.
Like I said, I thought he might have been hurt for like the, can't you know the 5 week lead up, you know, month.
He could be.
What they got. Yeah, and you know that, you know, you come back, you miss a week of that. You're behind.
Right.
But the thing with flow kills was that was just reps for next year that he could have used. I mean, that's the real. I mean, like I said, him missing this whatever COVID season is not a huge thing.
Right.
It just affects next year.
Right. It will be interesting to see how he bounces back.
But flow
and meniscus not exactly a great injury.
No, but if that happened game two of a regular season, he's not missing the whole year.
Yeah. Yep.
By any stretch.
Yep.
But Sewell's gonna be like the real deal.
Yeah.
He's gonna be gone early too.
Oh, he's a 3 year guy. I mean, then he's out. I mean, he might even be a 2 year guy and hold out and not even play that junior year because
is he a move to strong safety in the NFL?
Yeah, I feel like
he is a little small for the NFL.
I don't know that he has the speed for that. Small. It
looks like he's got some speed.
You mean short or small?
Short. Obviously, he's fucking yoked out of his mind.
I was going to say, small is not a word I would use with Noah Sewell. I'm going to see how tall he is.
I think he'd be classified as an undersized linebacker.
He is 6'2", 250. That's pretty good, man. He's good.
The 250 is
but that's big.
Couldn't you see him dropping just, you know, down to like 230, 220 and put him at safety?
Yeah.
Because he's got the speed. He'll be cleaning people. Well, if this was back in the day, he was Troy Polamalu.
Yeah. I was trying to avoid saying Troy Polamalu for obvious.
Just because of the obvious reasons. But yeah. that's the same play style.
Yeah.
Because his break on the ball was like Polamalu. He just reads everything so in front of him so much faster.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, gets him in a little bit of trouble here and there, trying to guess some gaps.
By the way, I feel bad for Thibodeau. Thibodeau should have a sack. He's been destroying run plays.
He's looked better
than last year.
He has no numbers to show for it. Like, it's a shame. Like, because you want to see him get. Well, by the way, Oregon hasn't forced a turnover. I'm trying to think of a sack.
I don't think they have a sack all year.
So no turnovers, no sacks.
Well, that first game against Stanford was like a one-step drop and pass.
Yeah. Interesting. But they have been disruptive, though. So you
saw a stat, actually, this week. So Oregon is -5 in turnover ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like the fourth or fifth team in the last 9 years to start out 2-0 while they're -5.
You're Moorhead.
Just in total. So we're talking like Oregon, Miami, Toledo, Bowling Green.
You don't
start 0-5 in turnover and be 2-0.
Right.
Remember Moorhead called that an outlier stat.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, again, they were turning the ball over like crazy, but the defense held them in it.
And so, once that flips, let's say that flipped.
Yeah, because it is a numbers game. Like, they're going to catch up.
Yes. Oh. And
by the way, UCLA, Oregon State, really good opportunities to do that.
Well, especially
UCLA.
Thompson Robinson likes to just throw the ball up.
But he's not – I don't know if he's playing.
Oh, is he not? What's going on with him?
Sounds like his roommate popped hot for the vid.
Man, Oregon keeps drawing these COVID quarterbacks. Yo!
So when I looked up the lines for our picks, it was 13.5, and that's what I kept and sent to you guys.
Uh-huh. Isn't it like 18? And then
it jumped to 18 like that because some people heard wind of it, and it jumped 4 points.
That's a shame, by the way, because I like him. Like, he makes a lot of stupid plays.
He's Jameis Winston and Phil Rivers of college.
Bro, he's a playmaker too. All of a sudden he'll come out, like he'll pull these plays out of his ass and UCLA will score, and you'll be like, man, just do that. Like, don't overdo it, dude. You have talent.
They'll throw three pick sixes in the first half and then throw five touchdowns in the second to lose by three.
Jameis back starting, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So the kickoff time moved to Saturday at 12:30. It was originally going to be Friday. It was going to be a night game too, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so that was the whole thing with the new uniforms, is they were going to like wear these, you know, the Ohana uniforms, play at night. It was going to be fucking sick. And, you know, like middle of the day.
What do you guys think of the Ohana uniforms?
They're dope.
And what do you think of all the white people flocking to buy Ohana gear?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we were already doing it with Marcus, man. Like, it's...
Well, that ship
has sailed.
Not like this, though.
No. Well, when The Rock came out,
selling a gear with fake lays on them. I'll just say that.
Did The Rock give everybody a free passkey?
The Rock came out and gave props to the Ducks and Cristobal.
Yeah.
So I think that's enough of a pass for white people.
I'm just saying, as a white person, fly into Honolulu wearing the Ohana shirt.
Right.
See how that goes. Go to a nightclub.
Have fun. Oh, yeah. Well, don't do that.
Have fun.
No.
you tell them. No, Ohana means family.
It's like, yeah, motherfucker, like, I saw Lilo and Stitch. I'm still going to kick your ass, white boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of why we're in Hawaii, what did you guys think of Delora for Wazoo?
He's going to be good.
Yeah, he's going to be good, right?
Yeah, he's going to be good. His windup is really long.
It is, but...
And he kind of shot puts it.
He's not polished whatsoever.
No, but he sees the game well, and he's got athletic ability. He's going to be a problem.
Yeah,
I like that team, man. I think Washington State's going to be okay. And
Rolovich is going to be really annoying.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's good.
Yep, really good.
I mean, and he may watch too much OANN and all that, but he can coach an offense.
He's fun, man. How about like the end of the game when they were all going out to shake hands and stuff, and Cristobal's like, no. Everybody back, we're not doing this. Y'all, one of you probably has COVID. Get in the fucking locker room.
I do love that. Hey, I'm a COVID guy. Like, I wear a mask. I get it all. Yeah. I love how they play for 60 minutes and then they can't
shake it. Yeah. Right.
Yep. Hey, we just spit on each other.
You're right.
But we can't shake hands.
Right. Exactly. All right, so what do you guys think about the non-conference thing the Pac-12 is apparently saying they're going to do? So this is if a game gets canceled and they don't have an opponent for somebody, they can go to BYU, like you mentioned them earlier, like Portland State, Montana, and just be like, hey, let's play a game. Is that what we're saying?
Well, you got to be hope some team's not playing that week and set it up in –
So, from what I read,
yeah,
BYU does not meet the testing criteria to play a Pac-12 team, nor does any Mountain West team. And there are no FCS teams playing on the West Coast, so I don't understand what the hell this means.
Would you do the North Dakota State matchup?
They're not playing!
They're not at all. No, I'm saying, like, pull it together. Let's go. Let's do one. Are we really in the spot for like 2 days. Let's go. Let's play a game. Come on.
I mean, if FCS teams want to be pop-up tents, more power to them. It doesn't feel safe, but hey, let's do it.
No, they shouldn't be playing at all. What are we even talking about here?
I mean, couldn't you work in a Big Ten or SEC team that, you know, the other team doesn't meet the criteria of enough players or whatever?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Watch Ohio State's opponent pop positive, and they got to cancel that game. And Ohio State and Oregon are suddenly both available. Like,
would they not do it? I mean, why the hell not? I did see that the other teams have to abide by the conference's COVID, you know, strictness. So
yeah,
that probably takes out the SEC.
And the ACC.
And the ACC.
And the Big Ten. And
no, the Big Ten, I think we're
actually closer. Big Ten, Big 12, that's maybe.
The only conference in America.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They were also, them and the Pac-12 were the only two to cancel the season.
The whole thing, this whole announcement is just, like, seems pointless to me.
It does to me, too, but I think what it's doing is giving them the option.
So, well, sure.
If something opens up, yes, you all have permission to make phone calls right away. Like,
but I was reading something from the Colorado beat writer today, and guess who doesn't play this week? Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Or Colorado State.
Uh-huh.
Or Wyoming. All really close to Boulder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can't play those games, apparently.
Huh.
So what's the point?
Right. Is this maybe to justify the weird schedule from last week where they just like, well, we put together this game, so sure, why the hell not? Do whatever.
They showed it was possible to do.
Yeah.
And so if some random non-con school is available, then, hey, it's possible. So get on the horn if you want to. It is.
But it all, the whole thing exists in this weird world that some sports writers are in.
Mm-hmm.
These Staples, James Crepia, where December is somehow 70 days long.
Yeah.
And the playoff is going to push itself back to January 75th as well, so they can fit in these non-con games, which isn't happening.
No.
I think
literally today the news came out that there was a meeting amongst conference people, and they're like, we're not moving anything.
No.
I think Larry Scott's the one that brought it up, too.
These guys be like, well, maybe they can play on December 25th. No, they can't. It's happening.
Conceivably, that is a thing that could happen. They are not going to. Like, yeah, okay, I'm holding off, like, criticizing one of the guys you mentioned earlier, because he has been over-the-top ridiculous the entire time. Like, this entire process.
I don't even think it's criticism, because, hey, I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this, you know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
He is good at his job. We're not saying that. He just is off on this one.
Yeah.
He's just wrong.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Like, I saw him, and again, I don't want to mention names. A writer for a recruiting website centered around the University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And that person was like, dude, like December is only like 31 days left
there, dude. That's 2 weeks from now.
Like, and they were talking about like yesterday. He's like, well, you can play Cincinnati. He's like, when? December 19th. But that's when the Pac-12 championship is.
Well, maybe it's over at that point.
Well, it is. It's just, yeah.
Well, the Pac-12 had like a 2 week window to do their championship game. I remember they left that open. And so they had it that second week or third week of December, and then they also left it open to have, like, the week after that as well. So if they needed to add an extra week, they could, but they're not going to. Like, it doesn't make sense to do that right now, anyway. I don't know. But yeah, to your point, like, his takes have been very off this entire time, especially in regards to – you know, criticizing them for, you know, for being cautious. Because we are talking about, you know, was it 250,000 people have died in this country just from this. So it's like, if you're going to send out, you know, unpaid amateurs to go play a sport so your universities can make a bunch of money, you better be fucking cautious about it. And so they were, and then they, you know, as you do with science, you learn stuff as you go along, as you test things and try things out. And then they learned that there was a way they could test. There was a way they could possibly make it happen. And so they've done that. And by the way, it hasn't been fucking going well so far. In case you haven't noticed, games have been getting canceled. Not only in this conference, like around the fucking country. So that's why they're even bringing up these non-conference games, is because so many games have to be canceled because these kids, oh, Nick Saban was wrong. Like, they're not safer being around each other. Like, they're not safer being on campus because kids are fucking 18 and 19 years old and they have no fear of death. And so they go to parties and want to drink and want to hang out with their friends. And then they fucking get COVID and then give it to all of their friends. And guess what? College football players are no different.
Have you, did you see the Hurricanes rescheduling from a couple days ago? Mm-hmm. They literally rescheduled, like, so they're not playing this week. Too much COVID. Yeah. Almost didn't play last week because of too much COVID.
Right.
So not playing Saturday. And then they rescheduled their last, like, three or four games. Literally, all of them. They rescheduled the rest for, like, a week out. I don't think they're playing again. And I was reading from something like Miami Herald, and they're like, I think their season might be over.
They play like three games?
So, yeah, I think it was three.
Three.
But they rescheduled.
We're like week 11 of the college football season right now. I was hearing that the other day. Like, somebody was talking about that on the radio, and I was like, what? Yeah, I guess that's it, right?
You want to have some fun, go look at some teams, like their schedules, how they played.
Yeah,
there are some teams that's like, oh, week one, week two played. Then they're missing four straight weeks, and then they have like two more games. And yeah, it's there's some funky schedules from some teams from the games they played.
This should not be happening, but it is. So we'll talk about it. Should we get to NBA draft? Do you guys have anything on that? I mean, the Blazers get Covington and get out of the draft basically because they don't have.
I think. I don't care enough to argue about it, but I know you and I differ on the draft. Unless you're in the top, like, four, I don't care about the draft.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'm with you on that.
Okay, I thought you were, like, an asset guy. Like,
No.
All your second-round picks. Okay.
Well, I'm like, so the Blazers getting rid of their – so they traded – the trade just didn't make sense to me because you're getting a guy who is average – like average Covington, like he is a 12 points per game guy, like, you know, a few rebounds, whatever. He's average. And you gave up two first round picks for him. And so I'm like, well, if you're going to trade, I get getting rid of Ariza. He's like, whatever, I don't care. But if you're going to give up Ariza, if you're going to give up two firsts, like that's what you're going to get is Covington.
Protected firsts.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, these ain't no top 10 pick they're giving up
for it. That's but fair, but still.
You get 2 years of Covington. Covington is actually was cheaper than Ariza this year. Mm-hmm. The guy that they drafted for, I don't even know, he's like on his third team now. I mean, he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
The guy that they're going to draft next year probably wasn't going to play. I mean, you could be the Spurs and, you know, you hit end of the first round, second rounders, you know. Mm-hmm. 40% of the time, and you're like a god in the draft world.
Yeah.
So Covington fits.
The Blazers are just so bad at drafting. It's almost like they did themselves a favor by giving up first round picks. But that's not a way to go through life in the NBA. Like, just because you're bad doesn't mean you know.
The only thing the Blazers are good at is drafting. No. That's the only way they get players.
Yeah.
They didn't draft Dave and CJ, so they're not like
Aldridge and Roy and, you know.
Well, that was a different ownership group.
Like, yeah, but still, the Blazers.
That was a long time ago. So let's not act like the Blazers are good at drafting NBA players. Like Dame and CJ hit. Dame and CJ, that was really good scouting. Like really, really good. Because we're talking about like two really small colleges where they balled out. But other than that, they are just terrible.
Who they missed on? I mean, that was
Lemons.
I mean that, and he was what, 11?
That's the thing about 13? The draft. I mean, at what point do we call guys misses?
Yeah, if he's 13, that's not necessarily
a miss. Is that college miss? He was top. No. Was he top 10?
Collins was top 20. I don't think
top definitely 10. Top 20.
Yeah. No, but again,
I just don't know where you make that delineation where you're like, oh, yeah, bust. Because if you're the 15th pick, you're not a bust. I feel like if you're top 10.
Yeah, in the NBA, it's such a crapshoot, right?
Well, and like,
especially, especially out of this draft too. I mean, you didn't get to see any of the kids, you know, in March Madness.
Yeah.
This was the first time I was like, who the fuck are these guys?
Are these people? Yeah, yeah. Usually you get that with all the foreign players, but now you're getting that with all the fucking
I love that the Bulls pick number 4.
Uh-huh.
And pick like an off the bench true freshman from Florida State.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know why? Cuz he's tall and has long arms.
That's okay. What you're there could be the miss. If you take a guy like that at 13, 15, I'm not saying that necessarily a bust.
And something you'll notice, by the way, if you watch the draft, this is really the first time I've noticed it, is that when, because you're having players who just do not want to waste time going to college, and I don't fault them for that at all, but they are just going overseas and they're playing for a year and then they're coming back and getting drafted really high because they're really, really good players. And they can get paid overseas and also be overseas, which is better than being here, depending on where you go.
I think being a 5-star recruit at like Carolina is better than.
But they would list them. They'd list like one of them was listed United States. Like he went to the United States. So he went to high school, then played in like France or something.
I think he just played. I don't even think he played. No. He's like, I think this went to like the IMG Academy.
Yeah.
I love that. I love
that. Out of Florida.
I love it. I love it. Don't go to college if you don't want to go to college. There's no reason. If you're gonna be an NBA draft pick, like just go get paid or go do whatever you want.
I do wonder if there will be a correction on that.
Uh-huh.
If in 4 or 5 years GMs are like, listen. We have drafted enough guys who played in New Zealand against 37-year-old men who smoke a pack a day.
Yeah.
You want to know what? We're picking juniors in college now.
No.
That's not going to happen until unless
they – That's why the NBA draft sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NBA draft is just a better produced Major League Baseball draft at this point.
It's terrible. It is.
You don't know who any of these guys are. It's the same thing as baseball, where you're like, oh, he's 18, but he throws 96 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys know anything about Anthony Edwards before going number 1?
I didn't know who he was until the day before when a fake Redditor made up a fake story about him bringing food to a hibachi restaurant.
I forgot about Wiseman. Like right. he played 3 games with Memphis. And then
one against the Ducks, that's why you really know who he was, too.
Completely forgot about him. I'm just like, oh yeah, he was really good, right?
We're like,
let's say LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo,
like, oh yeah, LaMelo Ball, what an athlete, and he shoots 27% from the field.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. All right. I guess let's go. He's 6'7". Let's do it.
I was watching that, and then he like Jason Williams brings up the fact that he shot like 27% last year in Australia, and I'm just like, what? 27. He shoots a lot too.
Like apparently, he's a good passer. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's a really good passer. Yeah, that sounds a lot like his brother. By the way, can't really shoot from the outside. Good passer. Plays pretty good defense sometimes when he wants to. It's like okay, fun. Michael Jordan drafted him. Cool.
But is the draft only going to get better if the NCAA makes kids stay 2 years? Kind of thing, you know. Kind of like what football.
Yes.
Yeah,
like you said, I don't think
they should do that. I don't think they should.
Well, unless they give you an option just to go straight to the pros.
Yeah, but then if you go to college,
you have to go
for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Well, you know that's what the NBA wants. They won't say it because they're like the progressive league. They hate this one and done or heist. They hate it because they don't know. They don't know if they're any good.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to bet on themselves, be like, you know what? We're going to take that raw kid, and he's going to grow 3 inches, and he's going to shoot. That's just what GMs do.
Yeah.
But it very rarely actually pans out.
Right.
One team that knows exactly what they got is the Celtics, because Peyton Pritchard is a finished product.
Like, yes.
He is what he is going to be right now. Well, you know, I'll say, because I said this on Twitter too, like the way his progression has gone, like just being the kid from West Lynn, coming onto an already established, really good roster at Oregon, and just being second fiddle to senior year, you know, junior year, becoming the guy. He was really good, like his last year, really good, and was clearly the best player on that team. Like, he was Pac-12 Player of the Year, right? Yeah. So, you know, him coming into the NBA, like right now he's not going to be the starter on that team, like absolutely not. But in a couple years, it was like Kemba Walker the starting point guard for them right now? Yeah. So it's like his deal is done. 3 or 4 years from now, Pritchard is still grinding. I could see him. I don't know. It's possible.
I see him more as Ridd. He's going to play. He could play 10 to 15 years, but I think he's a backup.
Well, Ridd started for a long time.
Ridd was better. I'm thinking more, you know, I mean, second half of Ridd's career, he probably played 4 minutes
how
a night.
How much better is Ridnour than Pritchard? Like, do we place him on a pedestal because of the era he played in? And when
that's the scary thing, we're talking Ridnour about eras of the NBA. Because,
well, eras of the Ducks. Like, eras
I think eras
with Oregon.
Styles of the NBA. I mean, Ridd was not that long ago, but
because
the game is different.
Pritchard might be a better player than Ridnour.
Like, just not in college.
Just think about their games, you know? I don't know. Not in college? Why do you say that, though?
Ridd was so much better than Pritchard.
He was great. Like, don't get me wrong.
Come on. Let's back that one up.
I'm just saying Pritchard had an amazing year.
He did.
He's really good and polished right now. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I do love that, like, UW had, like, 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, right.
SC had, like, again, 2 also, I think.
Again, the NBA draft sucks.
Like, USC, Florida State.
And that like Isaiah Stewart guy. Hey, let's pick a 6'9" center because he's got long arms.
That's
okay.
By the way, that's
number 15. Okay.
Wanigan written all over it. By the way,
let's pick another UW guard because he's got a long wingspan.
No, was it? Come up with an answer. There's no good answer for that.
Was it last year? Was it a Matthias Thiebel?
He's okay though.
He's a good defender. He can't score shit. But yeah, but that's the kind of guy that plays at UW and they draft. Guy can't score. Yeah. Guy can shoot a lane and get a steal.
Right, right. I would honestly, like, obviously I would take the salary and wear the cool Gucci gear. Being an NBA GM in the top, like, 3 or 4 has got to be awful because you don't know what you're picking. It's so rare. Like, hey, the reason LeBrons don't come along a lot is not a lot of LeBrons at 17. Like,
just see how nice it is being some of those guys. It's like, oh, here's Blake Griffin. Here's Kevin Durant. You're like, oh, you're a 6'11". That kind of you play like a guard.
Ooh,
that's an easy pick.
Too soon to bring up Durant, by the way.
But even then, like, hey, Oklahoma City, you hit the lottery.
Right.
Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
James Harden. They want to what? Yeah, you got to trade. You got to trade Harden because there's not enough salary cap. Hey, you want to know what? Yeah, thanks for sticking around for your contract. But yeah, KD's. Yeah, I'm out. I'm leaving. Like, it's just.
How many titles did you get?
The NBA model really kind. I watch the NBA. I enjoy the NBA.
Yeah.
The NBA business model is the worst in American sports. By far. It is.
Yeah.
There's no Tampa Bay Rays the NBA.
No.
Are the Blazers the equivalent of the Rays? Like, as close as you could get?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, now that the Bucks paid Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to leave soon.
Yeah.
But that's the hard part is, in the NBA, you can draft great, and they're always going to sign that first contract back with the team that drafts them. That's how it goes.
Yep.
But then in year 7 or 8, depending on how those contracts go, they're just going to somewhere where it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. And there's like three of those cities that they care about. Miami, yes, LA, maybe Golden State.
That's about it. Are you saying we're not going to see another like Spurs? You know, Spurs draft?
No.
Right? I mean, the Warriors.
They lucked into Tim Duncan so hard just because David Robinson got hurt.
Well, look what the Golden State just tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
They got Wiseman. They're doing the same thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but then they lost Clay, which, by the way, that fucking sucks.
That does suck.
Like, Clay coming off an injury, working his ass off, then having the Achilles thing happen, that's trash.
Brutal.
Yeah. That sucks.
Brutal.
Yeah. By the way, we got to move on because we have been doing this for a long time, and we haven't even gotten to bets or anything yet. Do you have anything else on the draft before we are you ready for the Covington era in Portland?
I'm ready. CJ Ellerby, let's go.
Yes. I'm not even going to – I didn't even make an effort to remember his name because that kid's not going to play. Like, there's no way. There's no way CJ Ellerby plays on this team.
I don't even know why the NBA has a second round, to be honest.
Right? Right? Exactly. That kid has G League written all over him. He's going to be in the G League for like 5 or 6 years and then just be like, you know, I'm going to get into real estate. It's cool.
Saw a stat today before we move on. I think it was 73% of second round picks since they shortened the draft to just 2 rounds. Mm-hmm. So it used to be like 5.
Yeah.
73% of picks, and that was 20 some years, 30, they don't even fulfill their first contract.
Yeah. Insane. Makes sense, though, from the guy we've seen and talked about.
Well, it's not bad now. I mean, especially when they have like,
is still not on a roster, by the way. Get that man.
But it has, in the other end of that, it has gotten better because now they have like the undrafted kids can sign like two-way deals and stuff now. It's gotten easier to come up from being undrafted than it sounds like it is being drafted in the second round.
Yeah.
No, it's all the same, pretty much. It's pretty much the same thing. Like, oh, we have to draft somebody in the second round, so I guess we'll draft this person, whatever. They're not going to play. All right, let's get to gambling.
All right.
How did we do last week?
So last week, Braga, you had 1 point. You got Colorado.
What'd I get right?
Colorado,
yep.
Yep.
Getting big on my Buffs.
And King and I, Buffs. Yep. King and I each got 3 games correct.
Nice.
But King got the star pick with his Beavers.
Your Beavs.
So he's got 4 points, and I got 3 points this week.
Oh, boy. It was a rough one, boys.
Running total, we're all tied five points. So.
Okay.
That's how it goes. All right.
And with only a few weeks left.
Right? So King gets himself a street agent shirt for winning the week.
Wait, so I get one from last week then, right?
Yeah, you got one from week one.
Yeah, boy!
From the street agent shirts. All right. So the first game, we got Cal, 3.5-point favorite at Oregon State.
I got my Beavs in this one.
Yeah, Beavs.
I think Oregon State wins that. Cal was garbage. Yeah.
This isn't fun because I'm taking the Beavs as well.
Yeah.
Might as well cross that game off for us. All right, next game we got Arizona at Washington. Huskies, 10.5-point favorites.
I'm actually going to say Arizona covers.
Me too.
They lose, but they cover.
I got that as well.
This isn't fun because I have Arizona as well.
It's all right.
Yeah, this is good podcasting here. We're all picking the same.
We'll all pick the same picks.
All right, third game we got USC, 3.5 points at Utah.
Utah.
All right.
That seems like the –
And they haven't even played. They haven't played a game.
Seems like the conventional wisdom pick, right?
I'm picking SC.
Yeah. I got SC on that one.
It's going to be about 28 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
No Cowboys.
So SC 3.5-point favorite, right?
Yep.
I think SC wins by like 2 scores. Yeah, I know. Like, they have given
us – ever won by 2 scores?
They have given us nothing in the last few weeks to tell us that is
– They lost to Iowa last year.
What's that?
They lost to Iowa to close out last year.
Why are you bringing up old shit?
I'm just saying.
All right, next game we got Wazoo at Stanford. Stanford, 1.5
Stanford.
I got Washington State. I really like them. Stanford is really bad. You know, they got their starting quarterback back last week, and they still didn't look good at all. I think Stanford is, like, really bad at football now. So I think Washington State, like, they're gonna get a lot of confidence off that Oregon game last week.
I think they get the running back back as well. Was he out for COVID?
No, it was the wide receiver, right?
For Washington State?
No, yeah. I think he's just out for the year with the
Stanford we were talking about. Okay.
No, right. Yeah, I was saying I like Washington State with you. He's out for the year, you say? You think he got hurt?
Yeah. So you guys are locking up Wazoo?
Yep.
Here's Wazoo. A nugget.
All right, nugget.
Wazoo's quarterback out with COVID.
Fuck you.
Yes.
I still got him.
Okay.
Stanford's terrible.
Delore is out. Two weeks.
Damn it.
Breaking news.
Da, 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 da.
I'm keeping him still too.
For our out of
conference matchup, we actually have a good game. Well, on paper at least, mm-hmm. We got Indiana at Ohio State, 20.5 points.
Ooh, that's how good Ohio State.
It's a big number. I got Indiana covering 20.5, dude.
God, I promise, I got Indiana as well.
Well, Indiana, they just had like one of their best players get hurt or something too. Indiana did, so that's not going to help.
The Big Ten, it's trash.
That's a lot of points for everybody in the Big Ten other than Ohio State. So we'll see.
All right, our last game, I'm going to go with the spread I put down. We're all going to pick. I got UCLA at Oregon, 13.5. So I assume we're all picking the Ducks.
Yeah.
Oh, without
and that's my star game. Thompson Robinson's star game before.
Thompson Robinson's out, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Not official.
Not officially, but.
Man, that makes a difference.
That's my Trump triple star game on that. With 13.5.
I got Oregon in that one as well. Yeah, we didn't give our star games, King.
Yep.
Let me look back.
Oregon.
Yeah.
I'll take the Beavs as my star game.
Ooh.
Yeah. Cal is no bueno.
All right. That's the list.
All right, let's do it. We're all tied up. Let's get some separation this week, boys.
Separation Saturday.
Let's get to trivia. UCLA trivia, obviously, as they are playing the Bruins this week. So who wants to start? I don't care.
I'll start.
Been running away with the school trivia.
Who is the all-time career leader in passing yards at UCLA? You're going to be upset with yourself if you get this wrong.
Cade McNown.
That's correct. Was that too big of a hint, by the way?
No, I thought it was that, but there's part of me like...
Rosen, maybe?
Those were my other options, were Hundley and Rosen.
Yeah, Hundley. I was like, did Hundley play long enough to?
McNown finished with 10,708 yards for his career. That's a pretty high number.
That's Lynn, baby.
Skeet, last time UCLA went to a Rose Bowl was 1999 when they lost 38-31 to Ron Dane in Wisconsin. Who was their head coach in that game? 1999.
There's no way. I don't think it was Rick. Bob Toledo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good work. Nice. Nice work.
Maybe a little tricky with the Neuheisel, I was thinking.
Yeah. Neuheisel was way later. All right. King, which head coach spent two seasons at the helm of the Bruins going 15-5-3 before switching to a long NFL career that included one Super Bowl title?
Dick Vermeil.
Yes, that's correct. Nice work. All right, Ski.
Did you say he went 15-5-3?
Yeah, three ties. Three ties.
What a dumb era.
Three ties in two seasons.
It's terrible. Terrible.
Unreal. Ski, USC is obviously UCLA's main rival in all sports. USC currently leads that series 50-32-7. Speaking of ties, 7 times. With 2 wins vacated because Reggie Bush's mom needed a new house. What is the trophy the two teams play for?
No idea.
It gets painted a different color depending on who wins. King, your options. The Palladium Trophy, the Victory Bell, the Cooter Trophy.
Victory Bell.
Yep.
Cooter.
Cooter. Y'all got that Cooter Trophy? all right, you lead 3-1, and you get the next one as well. Who is the all-time winningest coach in UCLA history?
Oh, I know the answer. Terry Donahue.
Yep. You do know the answer. That is correct.
Because he was there the longest, right?
Yes, he was there forever.
Yeah, that was going to be my guess, just because he was there forever. He had to win the most games.
Yeah, he just went 7-5 every year.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Ski, who is the only player to ever be drafted number one in the NFL draft from UCLA?
Jesus. I don't think he was one. MJD?
Nope.
I don't think he was one. No.
All right, King, your options. Jonathan Ogden, Troy Aikman, or Freeman McNeil?
Troy Aikman?
Yes. Troy Aikman played 2 years at Oklahoma, transferred to UCLA. Ended up, yeah, I think it was like third in the Heisman balloting the year before, and then Dallas picked him number one, 1989. That means you are the winner, by the way. Again, running away with trivia.
No?
Your Bruins?
Who
is UCLA's all-time leading rusher in yards?
Franklin?
Yep. That is correct. How many bowl games did Rick Neuheisel lead the Bruins to as their head coach?
It'd be awesome. I would say zero.
I'm going to say two.
It was
Military one. Bowl and the that San Francisco Bowl.
It was one. It was the Eagle Bank Bowl in 2009. They beat Temple 30-21.
Hell yeah. RFK Stadium. I remember that one.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of UCLA's mascot?
Joe.
Joe Bruin, yep. In the mid-60s, they started using a student in a bear costume. Before that, they used a live bear on the sidelines. It was like a small bear.
Okay.
Guy with like a little sun bear or something.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it. It's like a little bear on a leash. It's actually pretty adorable. Give him credit for that. This guy played quarterback for the Bruins in the 74 and 75 seasons, running Pepper Rogers' wishbone offense to a 75 record before becoming an actor in NCIS and becoming People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive in 1986.
Something Harmon, I think.
Mark Harmon?
Mark Harmon.
Mark Harmon, yeah.
He's a good-looking man. Real good man. In his first game at UCLA, he led them to a win over the defending national champion, Nebraska. He was like a JUCO All-American before going to UCLA.
What did you say their coach was? Pepper Johnson?
Pepper Rogers.
Pepper Rogers.
They're in the wishbone at UCLA. That's right.
That's good.
Good shit, man.
Pepper Rogers here. That's the oldest Rogers. Name ever.
Mark Harmon, the transfer from the JUCO, PS College.
And onto the field of the Rose Bowl is Pepper Rogers' wishbone offense led by Mark Harmon, the Butte College transfer.
Winning the Heisman with 3 touchdowns on the season.
Does he not sound like he might have been like an old Negro League player? Like his name would be like Hot Pepper Johnson or like Hot Pepper Rogers Hot Pepper or something Johnson. Like that? Just,
watch him sling it.
Hot Pepper Rogers.
Watch Hot Pepper Johnson shuck the Cornhuskers from Nebraska.
National champions no more. Last one. UCLA has had several finalists for the Heisman, only one winner. Happened in 1967 for a guy who beat O.J. Simpson. Finished the year, speaking of the numbers, 1,359 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He also ran for 227 yards and 11 touchdowns on the ground, 1.6 yards per carry, and won the Heisman. Who is that person? Do you know?
Is it like Gary Bban or something?
Literally who it is. Man, you know
Rodgers,
dude. Wow. That's it. That was the last one. I think you might be closet UCLA fan here. Did you?
I don't even hide that. Hashtag yeah. My Bruins.
Yeah. Okay. You're Bruins. All right.
Yeah.
Like once Chip went over, you were just all on board.
Until they change back their uniforms to true baby blue with the yellow numerals, I'm out.
Speaking of Cade McNown, like those McNown era uniforms, so good. So good. All right.
UCLA. UCLA. Fight, fight, fight.
Hopefully the Ducks can take down Kings Bruins this week and I don't know. Part of me hopes the Ducks lose a game so the players don't have to suffer through like playing extra football and they can just not get COVID and be safe. But also, you know, I like watching football, so I'm very selfish. So
yeah, we all are.
Yeah, we all, yeah.
I'm against the season, but I'm still watching it.
But I'm still watching it, and I'm talking about it and really enjoying it when I am watching it. Yep. All right, boys. See y'all next week.
Go Bruins. Later.